Congresswoman Elizabeth Esty is one of the most impressive people in the House of Representatives, at least from this old political scientist's view, and always can make a certain amount of sense. When other people lose their heads, she doesn't. I wanted to start with Connecticut. I mean, many of our listeners live in Connecticut, so I wanted to ask you this. Connecticut is in a little bit of a fiscal crisis, yes?
It is a real challenge here. You know, Connecticut is still without a budget, and I'm looking at and hearing that in the next week or two they may try bringing another budget back. But it's not good, and I can tell you, folks in every city and town, in my 41 cities and towns that I'm honored to represent, it is top of mind. It's what I was hearing about at the doors yesterday.
And how does the federal division of power, the Democrats in the minority in the House, in the Senate, and in the presidency, how does that affect the way that Connecticut is either hurting or whatever?
Well, I'll tell you, one of the issues in which, one of the ways in which these two issues intersect really is brought to the fore with the recent efforts to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act, to, you know, basically yes. gut the Affordable Care Act, as well as with, as best we can tell, the tax reform proposals. Because here's the reality, Alan. The reality is that Connecticut, which has a fair number, although a decreasing number, of folks who have done very well in the economy over the last 20, 30, 40 years, for every dollar Connecticut sends in federal tax money down to Washington, we get back about 60 cents. Now, the rough calculations on that would be if for every dollar we send to the federal government, we are effectively getting a dollar back in terms of programs, services, you know, Medicare, et cetera, we would have $15 billion additional dollars in Connecticut for our
budget. And what is the total budget?
And our deficit is $4 billion. So not only will we erase our current budget deficit, but we would have money to spend on ensuring that we have excellent schools in every city and town. It would ensure that we could continue our commitment to clean energy. And so one of my beefs right now, frankly, with my Republican colleagues and with this administration is they're putting tax proposals on the table. Number one, that overwhelmingly benefit the ultra-rich. So the top 1% and the top 0.1% are estimated to be those who would get 80% of the benefit, 80% of the benefit of the proposed tax cuts. Like, these are not the people who need to be stimulating the economy. The economy needs to be stimulated by folks who are having trouble making ends meet. The people in Waterbury who are working a full work week and they're taking home less take-home pay. Those are the folks who need the tax cut, not, you know, the Wall Street bankers. And so it is a completely wrong-headed tax proposal, on top of which it would be terrible for Connecticut and New York because we have significant state property tax, state and local property tax and income tax. Well, guess what? The tax reform, quote, tax reform proposals, they're calling those state taxes, the credit for them, quote, subsidies. Quite to the contrary, you know what? New York and Connecticut subsidize Alabama and Mississippi right now with all the tax dollars we send to Washington that then flow down to, you know, to agricultural subsidies that go for oil and gas subsidies and a lot of other things in other parts of the country. So I'm getting increasingly frustrated and angry about this mislabeling of folks in our state. Places where we care, we're taxing to try to fix our infrastructure. We raise money to provide for good schools and a clean environment, and now we're getting blamed for that and being told that we want to be subsidized? Not at all. And I think we do need to be setting the record straight on that. And that is part of the problem Connecticut's facing. That's part of the reason we're having trouble, is because of this shift of support is actually subsidizing other parts of the country that aren't willing to raise revenue within their own borders and want it to come out of the federal tax dollars, which is coming straight out of my state of Connecticut and coming straight out of New York. And that's just wrong. And we need a serious conversation on that. As you can tell, I'm a little animated on that topic.
Will you get it? Will you get that serious conversation? Do you think that this is a done deal? This is the first thing that Trump has put on the table that he thinks he has a real chance of getting. I mean, he thought he had a chance of getting health care. He didn't get it. And so he hasn't gotten anything else. This is propaganda 101. He keeps saying it's a middle class tax cut. You've just pointed out it ain't.
It ain't one. And, you know, they're not going to find a single credible academic or think tank who is going to say this is a middle class tax cut, because it isn't. It just isn't. And as we saw with the battle over the Affordable Care Act, the American people are smart. They get it. And you can tell them one thing, but when they see the details, they're going to care about it. They were promised middle class support, and is quite to the contrary. That is not what's going to happen. Lower income, we're increasing taxes on people at the lower income level, and folks between like 50 and 50,000 a year and 75,000, a third will be paying more. Those between 150,000 and 300,000, two thirds will be paying more taxes. That's not what I. And guess what? If you're so wealthy that you would be affected by the federal estate tax, which is a tiny, tiny fraction of Americans are that wealthy, a tiny fraction. That apparently we need to get rid of that because those folks are so suffering under that burden. It just makes no sense.
That's a tough one, isn't it?
Because it is a tough one, and I will tell you, I don't think, you know, we do need simplification. We do need to deal with the competitiveness of our corporate taxes internationally, but we should do that in a way that's respectful of working people. The proposal on the table is not, and for that reason, I don't think it flies. I don't think it gets the votes, even within the Republican side, much less with any Democratic support.
Does it change? In other words,
If they want it to pass, it's going to have to change.
For example, will there be a deductible state and local taxes? But, of course, they still have to come up with a certain amount of money to fund the government. You know, they didn't get it from their ill-begotten adventure into health care. So now they have to find another way to get it. And I don't see where it's coming from.
Well, this proposal doesn't get that at all. They've got incredibly... optimistic is not even the right word. They have fanciful predictions of economic growth on a trickle-down on steroids. This is trickle-down on steroids. There's been one time when we've seen real economic growth from a tax cut, and guess what? That happened when marginal rates were like over 75%. And it's worth noting that one of Reagan's architects of his tax cut has been on record in the last week saying this is fanciful, this is wrong, it's not going to work, it's fiscally irresponsible, and they should not be doing it. So I think, again, I am very much in favor of tax fairness, and we need to get on track to eventually getting the budget in line. But you don't do it this way, with a huge giveaway to the ultra-rich, and in ways that manifestly has been proven this is not going to grow the economy in the way that they claim it will. It's fanciful. It's just a big giveaway. And that's not the right thing for the American people.
Elizabeth Estey, we only have a couple of minutes here, but I wanted to ask you about your work on opioids. Anything to report?
Well, we've gotten a couple of big grants in Connecticut, actually, through some of the programs in Health and Human Services for opioid issues in the state. But I'll tell you, it is such a struggle. There is so much work that needs to be done. So, for example, we even have our medical examiner in Connecticut. They are at risk of losing licensure because they cannot examine the bodies fast enough. How appalling is that? We are going to break 1,000 deaths of opioid overdoses in this state this year.
Okay, half a minute.
And that is an appalling number.
Half a minute. What do we do right now?
What do we do right now is Dems and Republicans get together and make sure we're funding these programs as well as innovative research to figure out how we break the addiction.
Our guest has been Congresswoman Elizabeth Estey of Northwest Connecticut of the 5th District. She is amazing to watch. If they were all like Elizabeth Estey, we'd be in great shape. Elizabeth, when you come back the next time, let's do some more.
Sounds good.